vampires am I supposed to care about these days?
Oh, I guess you could say I'm still in costume. I'm a rational consumer.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 43. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. We're fresh off the bye week. We got a lot of energy. I think at least I'm going to go scorched earth this episode. We got a lot to talk about. We got the Janoris Jenkins suspension. We have quite possibly the craziest NFL trade deadline, at least that I've ever witnessed. So we're going to break it down and what implications it had for the Giants, even though they were quiet. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to do the housekeeping. So first, subscribe. Guys, we're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher. Subscribe, get the fresh episodes every week as soon as they come out. Get them to your phone, get them to your computer. Every little bit helps us grow. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, 5 stars. You know the drill. Go do it. All right, now go follow us on Twitter. That's step two. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. And I'll even go as far as to throw our lovely producer Andrew, who's probably editing this, a follow. If you're a Knicks fan, he's got the Fresh Knicks podcast. So go follow him at Claudio_GSN. That is the end of the housekeeping, at least for now. So let's get into it. Weiss.
Ethan, how are you?
I was good. The Giants, despite their best efforts, because they were on bye, could not ruin my Sunday. I sat on the couch all day. I had a nice iced coffee. I had some leftover Mexican food. It was delightful. I won both my big fantasy leagues. I just checked. I'm 4-4 in our fantasy league, by the way. It's crazy. This league's real hard because it's 18 people. But if you're listening and you haven't checked, guys, go check. We want to keep this competitive. But yeah, other than that, I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm doing good. The Giants sort of made me laugh today.
Laugh is an understatement.
I mean, at this point, you can just laugh.
It's laughable how inept they are. I'll say, I'll go that far. And it's,
but surprisingly, they're not the biggest joke in the NFL. They're close.
You know, they were until 3:55 p.m. today.
Yeah.
When the Browns said, "Hold my beer." So yes. let's talk about it. What was first up on our rundown? I'm already forgetting. Was it the trade deadline?
I was the Janoris Jenkins suspension.
So let's talk about this. Because it's ridiculous on a number of levels, right? On one level, you have the fact that Eli Apple already had to be disciplined this season. DRC was already suspended. And now Janoris Jenkins. You have one of the most complete and all-around secondaries in all of the National Football League. You got Janoris Jenkins locked down. He puts people in Rikers every week. DRC, still good for his age. Eli Apple, former first-round pick. Landon Collins, Pro Bowler, arguably the best safety in the NFL. And you know what? None of them have respect for head coach Ben McAdoo. None of them. And we'll get into the entire accountability thing, and I know you want to talk about that as well. So that's part one. Part two is the fact that the only organization worse at lying than the Giants is probably the Trump administration. If you're a Trumper, sorry, whatever, I said it. Listen.
You're not sorry.
I'm not sorry. The the fact that even the Giants said on Monday, Janoris Jenkins taking a personal day. Then Ben McAdoo comes out today and says, we didn't hear from him until today, Tuesday. So they can't even get their own story straight. It's absolutely embarrassing. No one on this team has any respect for the coach. And if you think about it, it's not even the offense that's having these issues. It's the defense. That's how fed up they are with how inept the offense is, with how much they're playing, and how they have to be the ones to constantly keep them in games to prevent them from having an even more embarrassing season. It is absolutely ridiculous. So I'll let you go on now, but the fact that now the Giants are going into a game against the Rams without their number one cornerback, let's not act like the Rams receiving core is anything like insane, but they're a well-coached team. They got a young offensive guru for a coach. Ain't that nice?
They have one of the best offenses in the NFL.
You know, listen, Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, they're not going to terrify me, but they're a well-oiled offensive machine. So losing your number one cornerback, never a good thing. Weiss, take it away.
Oh man, where to begin? Let's just start at this. I think we can both agree that what Janoris Jenkins did garnered some sort of discipline. I think
sure.
We can.
No debate.
So we got that, and we agree that what DRC did garnered some sort of discipline.
Absolutely.
But this is a repeat thing. This is stuff that's now happening with multiple players. Now it's not just Janoris Jenkins and Dominic Rogers Cromartie. It goes to the comments Eli Apple made about the culture in the locker room. It goes back to after the Philadelphia game when Jason Pierre-Paul sort of, not directly but sort of indirectly told reporters, when they asked about the talent on this team, he said, Don't ask me. Go ask the general manager. So these are all signs, and this has been built up. This started last year with the incident involving Eric Flowers and the ESPN reporter Jordan Ronan. I mean, this is a buildup of things, a culmination of things, and these are all signs of a team that doesn't respect its coach. Now, Ben McAdoo isn't the type that I would be like, you know what? Get rid of DRC. You know what? Get rid of Janoris Jenkins. I wouldn't do that because Ben McAdoo doesn't have that rap sheet where we can say that. He hasn't built that. He hasn't won anything in this league. The problem is that players aren't buying into what he's selling. They don't respect him. They don't really look at him as this disciplinarian. When a coach doesn't have respect, when a coach doesn't have leadership in the locker room, it's not going to work. No matter how much talent you have or don't have, it's just not going to work when they aren't buying what you're selling. And right now, what we're seeing is players not buying into Ben McAdoo's system, players not buying into what he's selling, and you're seeing stuff like this happen because players feel like it's okay to do what Janoris Jenkins and what Dominic Rogers Cromartie have done. So, it's all a trickle-down effect. I spoke about it a couple weeks ago on our podcast. Or last week, we talked about accountability. Mm-hmm. Accountability is huge.
Yep.
When, culture is built with the head coach. Yes, that's 100% true. But it really starts at the top. You have to have,
the fish rots from the head down.
Exactly. You need to be able to build a culture from the top. And when you build it from there, it trickles down. But when there's no accountability at the top, then what happens is it trickles down. You'll start seeing, players show signs of resentment. Because players aren't dumb. They see what we see. Exactly. They see more than what we see. They see what's happening in the locker room. If we can see that there's a double standard amongst players, you don't think players see it? I mean, they do. They see it, and it all goes back to accountability. We're not holding everyone accountable for their actions. Stuff like this is happening, and it's beating a dead horse when I say that I think that this is just yet another sign of the fact that the John Mara at the end of the season needs to clean house and start from fresh. Because remember, during his bye week press conference, Jerry Reese, which I still don't understand, said that don't count us out. We're going to come back, sort of hinted at this run that the Giants are going to go on. Well, they're back from the bye, and what's the first thing we hear from them is arguably the team's best defensive back is, showed up late or didn't show up and, suspended. So this is a joke. I mean, the Giants are a joke. The New York Browns, you can call them whatever you want. I mean, they're a joke. This is the culture there is no culture there right now. And it's all a trickle-down effect. When there's no accountability, and I want to bring this up, in 2015, and I spoke about this on the last show, the only change they made was Tom Coughlin. That's the only change they made. And what they were telling us is he's the only problem. Well, now he's out of the picture, and it has gotten worse. There's no discipline. There's no respect. And look, the team is losing. So
yeah. Listen, I said it before, and I've gone off on John Mara, Steve Tisch, on previous podcast episodes. I said it a few minutes ago. The fish rots from the head down. The Giants as an organization have been mediocre at best since 2009. Fell ass backwards into a Super Bowl at 2011, and I believe you were the one who said it earlier in the week. Then they have a general manager who's trying to build another Super Bowl contender with an incredibly, incredibly, incredibly flawed system. You can't do it with zero run game. You can't do it unless you win in the trenches with an offensive line, with a quality running back. You can't do it. And now you have John Mara, who's sitting up in his owner's box, sitting cross-legged on the floor singing fucking Kumbaya, talking about the Giants way, and Steve Tisch out in California, who's just doing everything that he can to get on TMZ, and there's been no organizational change. Nothing. We haven't seen anything. The Giants way doesn't work. It hasn't worked for the last 6-7 years. Enough is enough. What are they waiting for? It really makes no sense. They're 1-6 going into the bye. They're a banged up team. No one respects the head coach. Why not see if you have a future head coach on the roster somewhere? Maybe give Steve Spagnuolo another shot. Maybe see what Mike Sullivan can do. Because it's become more than apparent that Ben McAdoo is clueless as a head coach. And both him and Jerry, need to be axed at the end of the season.
Listen, Dan Patrick said it best. Ben McAdoo is a lot like Charlie Weiss. Just doesn't work. Doesn't work in this league. Doesn't work. And he's not fit to be a head coach. We're seeing it right now. I mean, to say that, you know, it's one thing to suspend him. You suspend him, fine. It's not the fact that you suspended him that makes you lose a locker room. It's the fact that this stuff is happening under your supervision, that players are not responding back to your rules, to your, you know, they're not giving you the respect. That means they're not going to play for you. When players don't want to play for a coach, they're not playing with that hunger for a coach, then, you know, it's
pointless.
What's the point? Yeah. What are you doing here, you know? So, I just think that at this stage, I mean, what I would have done in a perfect situation, if I was John Mara, if I was Steve Tisch, you know, I probably would have cleaned house during the bye week. I would have figured out a way to put someone in charge that could have a fire sale. And I would have opened up my roster and told anyone, you want to make a deal? Let's make a deal. But they didn't do that. They want to see what Jerry and Ben can do over the next, 10 weeks
which
left?
Which is lunacy.
Eight games, you know, I mean, so that's what they chose to do. And, you know, now, between now and the end of the year, whatever happens. And I think all of us just need to be eyeing that January 1st press conference for John Mara when he will finally speak on this, and we'll see what they go from there. But I just don't see a scenario how John Mara could sell this regime on his fan base for another year.
Crazy part, and I tweeted it earlier. We cannot say with 100% certainty that this regime is done. We can't.
I can't. No,
because of the way John Mara runs things, mm-hmm. The Giants way. What the fuck is the Giants way? It makes no sense.
You know,
it doesn't work.
You know,
change
you know
it
what
up.
The Giant, you know what the Giant way is?
Tell me.
6-10, undisciplined, out-coached, outclassed football.
Every week.
And off the field, you get stuff like this. Off the field, you get stuff like, you know, the Josh Brown situation. Off the field, you get stuff like DeMont players fighting in the locker room over headphones. Remember the DeMontre Moore situation?
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff we're seeing, right? How often now are we hearing these type of things come out of the Giants locker room?
Yeah.
How often?
I'll give a shout out to one of our followers, David Sofer, who tweeted this at me before, and I just remembered it because you brought up the Josh Brown situation. Bad leadership, check. Bad development, check. Bad coaching, check. Bad drafting, check. Knowingly signing domestic violent offender, check. Dumpster fire. Absolute you know what? No, never mind. To call them a dumpster fire would be an insult to dumpster fires. They're whatever's worse than a dumpster fire. That's what the Giants are at this point in time.
And they don't make any sense. I mean, I hate to keep going into the past, but the same offseason that they gave Josh Brown an extension, right?
Yeah.
they passed on Laremy Tunsil in the draft.
Right.
Because of a video. Now, whatever your opinion is on Laremy Tunsil is a different story. Whether you wanted him or not, that's a different story. But that's hypocrisy at its finest.
I mean, listen, and it's hypocrisy that is evident all over the NFL. Seeing is believing. And if, as long as no one knew or the Josh Brown situation was never made public, the Giants didn't care. The same thing with the Ray Rice. We knew the video was out there, but nothing was really done until the video got out actually to the media. It's just the way the league is. It's unfortunate.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I don't think that we should, like, you don't, I'm not talking directly to you, but I'm saying in terms of some of these people that say, oh, the Giants don't sign these type of players. Well, no, you're wrong. They do.
They have in the past. So they probably will again, as long as we don't find out about it.
Exactly. So, you know, when people ask, should we sign this player who's had a checkered past? I don't think people should respond and say, oh, the Giants don't sign those type of players, because, you know, you're wrong. So it's a mess, and they're still, you know what, we're 7 games in. They're 1-6. There's still 9 games left. I don't think this will be the last incident that we hear about.
No, not at all. I think
you're starting to see things unravel. You know, when you have 2 suspensions like that in, you know, a 3-week span, that usually means that it's just the tip of the iceberg.
And shit's about to hit the fan.
Yeah, I mean, because we can look at the schedule and see that Giants got some tough games coming up, and, you know, these cross-country trips aren't helping either. When you're going cross-country, losing games, and got to fly all the way back, given the fact that, you know, you're a couple weeks away from being eliminated from contention, you know,
yeah,
it's going to continue to get worse. And I think, you know, people said, oh, well, Ben McAdoo, you know, is sending a message to the locker room by suspending DRC. Yeah, that message was definitely sent loud and clear. And people definitely
clearly, yeah. Ridiculous. All right. Now that we're done with the Jenkins news, let's talk trade deadline. There were, I guess, 2 moves that would have significantly affected the Giants. The first, Jimmy G, the best-looking quarterback in the NFL, going to San Francisco. He does not plan on playing this week. He plans to play the next week. And against the Giants. And it should come as no shock to anyone, or no surprise, that the reasoning behind this is, well, if they trade for him now, they give him like a 6-game tryout. If he wins the job next year, then, you know, they don't feel the need to take a quarterback with their top pick, which would then essentially take the Giants out of the Saquon Barkley sweepstakes, because he seems to be a consensus top 5. The others being probably some quarterbacks and maybe an offensive tackle. So, you know, you hope that Jimmy G comes in and is good enough that they don't need to draft a quarterback, but good enough to the point where the Giants still finish below the Niners in the standing so that they get the higher draft pick. Sort of like a double-edged sword situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously that trade sort of came out of nowhere. Surprised the Patriots only got a second-round pick for Garoppolo. I mean, everyone that seemed to be talking about the Patriots training Garoppolo, everyone said they would have gotten at least a first, maybe even more than that. But listen, it's a good trade for the Niners. You can get 2 messages from this. 1, they really like Jimmy Garoppolo. And 2, they, you know, don't seem very high on the quarterbacks in the class. Now, yep. You know, everybody has a different opinion. People have been wrong before. Who knows? We don't even know who's, you know, going to be entering the draft yet. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good trade for the Niners. I think it's good value because they still have an extra second-round pick that I believe they got from the Bears last year. So, you know, it's good for them on the Patriots side. I mean, the rich get richer. You get a quarterback who doesn't play a down, and then years later you trade him right before he becomes a free agent. So, good for them. I think it's a good trade that works out. As far as what happens with the 49ers and the Saquon Barkley sweepstakes, I do think that they will finish with a better record than the Giants, I think, if Garoppolo plays.
I agree.
If Garoppolo plays, because remember, they lost a lot of close games earlier in the season.
Yep, you nailed it. I was talking about this earlier. Before their game against the Eagles, I believe their four road losses were by a combined 11 points. So, if Jimmy G can be better than C.J. Beathard or Brian Hoyer, I mean, God, that's not very hard to do. You know, they could get a couple more wins than the Giants, I think, in the final second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their next two opponents, they go home against the Cardinals, then they got home against the Giants, two games that they,
winnable games.
Winnable games, exactly. And then they got the Seahawks, who they played close, at Chicago, at the Texans, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and the Rams. So, there's a potential of 2-3, maybe even 4 wins in there, depending on how quickly Garoppolo gets ready. So, we'll see. But I'm not so sure because, Kyle Shanahan, from his days in Washington, was big on, waiting for the later rounds to get a running back. And I know Saquon Barkley is an amazing, amazing player. But, they could be looking at different things. But, yeah, obviously, you are a little bit worried because you want them to be able to finish with a better record. So
yeah, I mean, listen, whether it's Barkley or not, it's never a bad thing to have your more options, your choice of player.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other big news was that the Texans traded left tackle Dwayne Brown, holdout, to Seattle, contender, needs an offensive lineman. The deal was originally cornerback Jeremy Lane and a third, I believe. That deal is no longer because I believe as of a half hour ago, Jeremy Lane reportedly failed his physical. So now that deal becomes a 2019 second round pick. So good deal for both sides. Weiss, we both had Seattle as our Super Bowl pick. I believe you had convinced me on that, and I'll still stick with it. Very weak NFC outside of the Eagles. I don't think they'll have much trouble making a playoff Super Bowl run. This trade is interesting because I was originally, I don't say I was like raging about it. I would say I was disappointed that the Giants didn't try to make a move here. And what I essentially came to is that there are two trains of thought, which I will try to articulate as best as I can. The first train of thought is Jerry Reese could give up, say, DRC, who's better than Jeremy Lane, although a bit older, DRC and a third next year to get Dwayne Brown for another year and a half. He's a UFA in 2019. Although you go under the assumption that even though he is a free agent 2019, the Giants rework some sort of contract, extend him, pay him more money because that's why he was holding out in the first place, and keep him beyond his age 34 season. Now, if that were to happen, there are a couple assumptions that you can make. You can place two sides of the coin whether the Giants made this move or did not, right? So here's the first train of thought. The Giants make this trade. They extend Dwayne Brown. They roll into next season with a left tackle and a right tackle, assuming they extend Justin Pugh. And then they can fill in the gaps on the offensive line. Now, you can say, all right, that is Jerry retooling to make another final run next year. Or that's Jerry's desperate attempt to save this season while also screwing over any future general manager by trading away that third round pick. There's also the flip side, which is what actually happened, which is the Giants don't make a move for Dwayne Brown. They stick with what they have. And you can say, okay, well, Jerry either doesn't want to give up that pick because he assumes he's going to be able to use it in the offseason, or he just likes who he's got in the room. At the end of the day, I don't think this matters because at this point in time, the Giants are more than a left tackle away from, I mean, listen, the season's over. The season was over when they were 1-4. Season's over now. It's 1-6 with all the dysfunction and whatnot. I don't think it matters that much. I think that if they could have snagged someone of his caliber, despite his age and cap hit for the next 3 or 4 years, it just makes life easier for them. At the end of the day, it is what it is. There's no reason to get terribly upset over it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I know you and I were talking about this yesterday. In the offseason, they didn't make any effort to sign Andrew Whitworth.
Right.
Who's around the same age as Dwayne Brown or Dwayne Brown?
I think it's Dwayne Brown. Okay. So Whitworth is 3 years older.
3 years older. But he's a much better left tackle.
Right.
And his contract was set up more, you know, cap friendly. I think it's more so like a 1 year deal with the sort of a, like a quote unquote team option for a second year. They didn't do it. So to think that they would give up draft pick, no, I didn't see that at this team 1-6. In my opinion, I wouldn't have done it. Simply because I don't want this general manager making any moves anymore involving draft picks, player trades. You know, depending on what it is, I wouldn't have cared as much. But I think the Giants, the reality of the situation is that this team is sort of headed toward a roster overhaul and a front office overhaul as well. And I think it's best for them to save their draft capital for a successor to Jerry Reese, whoever that may be. And but like you said, it's not really a big deal. If they would have drafted him, I sort of would have scratched my head a little bit, because you want to trade for a left tackle now when you're 1-6.
Instead of at the beginning of the season when you desperately needed one.
When you could have got Andrew Whitworth as well. With that said, I'm with you. I'm not really angry about it. I mean, at this stage, they are who they are. And, you know, I don't think Jerry should be allowed to make any trades anymore.
Jerry shouldn't be allowed to do anything anymore.
No. But here's the thing about it. And I don't want to – I think – to me, and I asked this question on Twitter, you know, you only had to pick one has to go, who would you choose? And I sort of went back and forth with someone, you know, I was talking to earlier today about this. And it's, look, coming into the season, you and I both were high expectations on this team.
Correct.
We thought the talent was there. Throughout the season, this is even before, you know, the injuries started to pile up. I mean, this team was outcoached. They were outclassed in all aspects of the game. And, yeah, you know, there were a couple of games where, you know, you saw the offensive line sort of break down. That sort of was like the big hit on Jerry, is his inability to upgrade the offensive line. But overall, this team just never played a full, complete game. And to me, that lands on the head coach. So I want to ask you, who do you think this season – who do you think deserves the majority of the blame? To me, it's Ben. I agree 100%. It's Ben. I think it's 60-40. Now, that might be a little bit close, but the reason it's close, in my opinion, is because, I mean, Jerry had 3 off seasons to fix the offensive line.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, listen, you could view it a number of different ways. I mean, there's no doubt that there was talent on this roster, right? This is a very talented roster. It's why they went 11-5 last year, despite Ben McAdoo's offensive incompetence. It's why we had such high expectations going into this season. And, you know, you look at some of these other teams around the league, they have just total shit talent. I mean, look at the Ravens. Yeah. The what are the Ravens? 3-4, 4-3? Like, they're a 500 team, right? I mean, if you told me this offseason... What's that?
Look at the Buffalo Bills.
Look at the Bills, 6-2, and they tried to tank. Look at the Jets. I mean, you tell me a few months ago the Giants are a 500 team, I tell you, one, there's no way, and two, I'm incredibly disappointed. The fact that they're 1-6, they could definitely be coached better. Don't get me wrong, this roster has a lot of flaws, and I want Jerry gone. But, I mean, Ben McAdoo's got to do a better job.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I think definitely Jerry – there needs to be a complete – you know, burn the building down and start over.
Yeah, lock everyone inside, as you like to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But people, you know, the reason why the blame is so much higher on Jerry is because, you know, this is year 4 of this offensive line rebuild, and it hasn't gotten better. If anything, it's gotten worse.
Right. It's definitely gotten worse. And now you're going into next year with more uncertainty, because you're going to need to, you know, spend a lot of money on Pugh and Richburg if you want to keep both. And then even if you do keep Pugh, what you have one piece. That's it.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
You got one offensive lineman.
One offensive lineman. Let's talk.
This is why I think in the offseason, the Giants could be forced to part with one of their three big free agent signings.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
The three being Jenkins, Vernon, Pierre-Paul?
Yeah, and I'll throw in maybe even Snacks Harrison in there, depending on what, if there is an overhaul, what happens with this team defensively.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nothing's off the table, that's for sure.
Exactly. So, I think if a new GM comes in and he values offensive line play and, he's also set his mind up on a quarterback in round one, he'll want to build an offensive line for that young quarterback or for, Eli Manning to succeed. So it's just something to keep in mind. These are scenarios that I play around with in my head when I think about, okay, we got the overhaul that we wanted. We got these players. We got this cap space. We're with this situation amongst who our free agents are. What do we do?
So, yeah.
That's just something people can keep in mind. I think it could be a interesting offseason for the Giants if they do, in fact, clean house.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to talk Los Angeles Rams?
L.A. Rams coming to town. I was looking forward to seeing Janoris Jenkins going up against his former team again. It was some fun seeing him last year, but we won't have him there. What is there to look forward to? I mean,
there's nothing. I mean, listen, you said it before. They're one of the best offenses in the league. They're a finely tuned machine. They can run the ball with the best of them. Todd Gurley ain't no joke, folks. And, they got Watkins. They got Kupp. Sean McVay, young offensive genius. And they got Jared Goff. I mean, listen, I don't know what people
I'm excited
expect.
To watch the Rams.
I'm more excited to watch the Rams than I am excited to watch the Giants.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. I mean, you look at the turnaround that team had in 1 year. They find their quarterback. They bring in a new coach. Don't forget Aaron Donald on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, the Giants have no chance. Let's be real.
I think they do have a chance in terms of – I don't think they're going to win. But I think they have a chance. I mean, I think it would be – listen, the Rams are a good team. But, again, they have flaws, and the Giants will be at home coming off a bye. So I think they do have a chance. But – one thing about Sean McVay is he's a young head coach.
Yeah.
But when you look at his
youngest
his
in the staff, league.
You look at the staff he put together. Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator, great move to do that. Joe Barry, who was defensive coordinator with the Chargers and the Washington Redskins, they got him coaching the linebackers. So I was just looking at his staff earlier today, and there's a lot of guys in there that were former. That have a lot of experience in coaching. That's what you got to do when you're a young head coach. So he put a great staff together there in LA, and you're seeing the results. And just the turnaround of Jared Goff, I mean, he looks so much more better than he did last year. And listen, man, kudos to him. I think right now, they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be a playoff team, and they're good for them because, I would say LA fans, we had that guest on earlier, a couple episodes ago, three, four episodes ago, which was from LA, and we were talking to him about LA football. And they want winners, man. And the Rams are trying to be that winner that can sort of pull those Los Angeles natives to their stadium. So
yeah.
good for them. I think Sean McVay is the coach of the year for sure.
Yeah, definitely up there.
I think Peterson has done a good job in Philly with Wentz, but this turnaround with a rookie head coach is phenomenal. And just to see what they become, and Todd Gurley looks like an amazing back. So it's good for them, man. I'm jealous.
Yeah. That's really all I got for the Rams game. I mean, there's not much to talk about.
No, I mean, you want to say we're excited to watch Avery Moss and Wayne Gallman get six snaps?
Yeah.
I mean, what else is there to get excited about with this team? There's really nothing else to get excited about.
Nothing. Should we get into some questions?
Sure.
Let's do it. I really like this one. What a goddamn handle. From at @t_rever696969. Do you think the Giants' disinterest in trading a fourth or even a third for Ajayi means they really like a running back in the first two rounds of this draft? The Giants' lack of interest in Ajayi has nothing to do with their incompetence at building a running game. I think there's a few things. One, Ajayi has attitude problems. He had attitude problems last year when they brought in Grandpa Arian Foster to compete with him. They had to sit him the first game because he threw a tantrum. And then the reports came out today that over the last few weeks, he's been getting up in coaches' faces and yelling at them because he's not happy. And listen, I wouldn't be happy in that offense either. I wouldn't be happy behind that offensive line. There's a very good chance he'd be even less happy playing for the Giants in this offense and behind this offensive line. So no need to trade for Ajayi. I really don't know where Jerry's head is at. I don't know if he's too afraid of losing his job or if he's legitimately thinking towards the top half of the draft. But I don't even think the Giants had Ajayi on their radar.
Yeah, no. And besides of all that stuff you mentioned, there's also questions about his knees and how much long they can hold up. So,
and he's a young guy, which is like worrisome that we're talking about his injury history already.
Right. Well, he was a lot of question marks about him in the draft process as well. A lot of teams sort of crossed him off because they were scared of how long his knees could hold up. And I believe he also had some foot problems as well.
Yeah.
So, good move for Philly. I don't really think it really helps them that much. I think
that's exactly what I thought. People thought I was crazy. I think this trade is a wash.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
it helps or hurts anyone.
And Smallwood kind of gave you, you know, good production from the running game.
Blunt too. Blunt, I mean, don't get me wrong. Blunt is an OG, but like him and Blunt have a similar running style.
Yeah. So. And they were getting production from their running game already, so I don't really think that this was sort of like, you know, the Eagles got so much better. I mean, we'll see. I mean, maybe Ajayi can get back to what he was last year and help the Eagles a lot. But, I'm not really like, you know, I think what Seattle did was far more impressive than what, you know, the Eagles did. Getting a left tackle was a need, and they got it. I don't really think Ajayi fills a need because the production was still there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Another deadline question from our good friend Nick Becht. What do you guys think of the deadline trades? Ajayi, Benjamin, Dwayne Brown, Jimmy. We covered three of the four. Let's talk about the Benjamin trade for a second. Yeah. I thought it was very interesting. You look at what happened to the Bills, and they were supposed to tank. They traded away Sammy Watkins. They are afraid to commit to Tyrod Taylor for some reason, even though I think he's a very good quarterback. And then all of a sudden, they're 6-2, have an incredible defense, and decide, okay, well, you know what? We traded away Watkins. Go out there, get Kelvin Benjamin. And the interesting thing about the Benjamin situation is that the Bills just lost Charles Clay. So Benjamin, who's built like a goddamn truck, is going to be... I don't want to say he's going to be the tight end. He's going to be in the wide receiver position, but he sort of fills that big body receiver type role for them, which they do need to fill.
Yeah. I like the trade a lot. I think.
Yeah, me too.
Buffalo kind of came into the season of that mentality. We're going to tank. Remember they made that draft trade with, I think it was Kansas City, where Kansas City traded up and got Mahomes. So they got some picks out of that. The whole commitment to Tyrod Taylor is weird, but again, it's another rookie head coach with a rookie GM who has their shit together. And, you know, look, 6-2, Tyrod's a good quarterback, and they want to end this playoff drought. And you want to win over fans. 17-year playoff drought in Buffalo. They have a lot of crazy, insane fans there. You know, end that playoff drought with the rookie head coach and the rookie GM, and, you know, they'll build a statue there for Sean McDermott. So that's another rookie head coach that's done a great job. And good for them to go forward and try to secure that playoff spot and getting Kelvin Benjamin, who still has a year left on his deal next year because of the player option. So, you know, good for them, man. That's what you got to do. He'll definitely help them in the passing game. Him and Jordan Matthews to go along with LeSean McCoy. That's a decent skill position talent that the Buffalo Bills got.
Yeah, no complaints from me. This one is
offensive line is pretty good too over there.
Yeah, definitely. Cordy Glenn, who was in the trade talks, but they decided to be buyers, not sellers.
Yeah, I never understood why they would want to trade Cordy Glenn.
Yeah, he's a good tackle.
28 years old, on a decent contract. It never made sense to me. I get the DeJuan Brown thing, but I never got why they would want to trade Cordy Glenn. I guess they thought maybe some team would, you know, bring a boatload of picks to him. But
yeah, definitely. RW, does the current locker room mutiny have any effect on Mara's choice to keep losing by not firing McAdoo, firing Reese, and cleaning house? Does it? I don't know. Should it? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, listen. You know what I thought. You know what my thoughts are on what John Mara should have done. But now keeping him the rest of the season is okay. You know, whatever. You know, you don't want to fire him. That's fine. But at the end of the season, that's when we'll talk. And he should do the right thing here and clean house. It's unbelievable why we have to even worry that he might not, like you said.
Yeah. The other
thing. Forget about all that stuff. This team is 1-6.
Yeah.
That alone should be enough. And you're seeing the same issues that you've seen in the past with personnel, with coaching. So I don't understand, you know, why one 11-5 season should overshadow the other five seasons of the Giants being absolute trash. You know, I mean, come on.
You are correct. The other three questions that we have are draft related, so that's it for the fan question section. Do you have anything, or did I miss one that you want to answer?
No, you got everything.
Yeah, I think we got everything.
I'm glad we didn't get any Jarvis Landry questions.
Oh my goodness!
I have to put my phone down.
I gotta say something. And it sounds bizarre. Believe me, I know. I typed it out. I said it out loud. It sounds bizarre. Jarvis Landry is not this elite receiver. He's just not. He is an average receiver who is the beneficiary of being in a bad offense. And by what I mean by that is they have absolutely zero deep threat in that offense. Jarvis Landry, not a deep threat. He averaged 4 yards per air target last season, which was one of the lowest in the leagues, and had 2 contested catches all year. They throw it to him underneath, and then he'll fight for a few yards after the catch. That's it. That's all he is. People are just going crazy because he's Odell's best friend. They're not going to trade for a wide receiver and then sign him for $10 million when they still have to pay Odell and Pugh next year. It's just not going to happen. It's lunacy.
That'll be the stupidest thing they could ever do. Think about it. If they pay, first of all, it's going to cost more than $10 million, okay? That's one. So let's put the number at $12 million, right?
Yeah.
$12 million to Jarvis Landry. Then you're probably going to have to pay Odell close to $20
million. Yeah.
You're talking $32 million annually tied to 2 receivers. For what?
Unheard of.
For what? And you have Sterling Shepard right there. I mean,
go get me a left tackle, please.
Yeah. Come on, I mean, you have Sterling Shepard right there to be your primary slot receiver.
It's crazy. Why? Looney Tunes.
Listen, this team has a lot of needs, but Jarvis Landry does
not. He's not one of them.
And I just don't understand why these people don't. I mean, what do fans not understand about this? I mean, it doesn't work. It's not never going to work. And I blame Odell, man. He trolled everybody with these tweets.
I know. That was ridiculous. And you knew it was going to happen, too.
Of course.
As soon as that name was mentioned, you knew it was going to be Odell and Landry.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Everyone's saying, maybe Odell will take a pay cut. Why would Odell take a pay cut?
Yeah.
Why would he take a pay cut?
No chance.
No way. Listen, I'm not saying Odell and Jarvis Landry will never play together. I think eventually, toward the end of their career, you know, when they're not eating up a lot of salary cap for a team, they might team up somewhere down the line, hopefully in New York or wherever. You know, who knows? But now, why would they have... Listen, in the NFL, you got one chance at a big payday. You know, why would you take a pay cut so you can play with your friend? That's stupid. They would never do that.
Never. All right. Anything else? Miscellaneous section? How about those Knicks?
How about those Knicks?
Dude, beat the Cavs, beat Denver. KP playing out of his mind.
Yeah, listen, I think...
they're fun again.
I would like Carmelo Anthony. I think he definitely had a lot of flaws. But
I was a big Carmelo fan.
Him and Derrick Rose gone.
I think we're going to see
the development of Porzingis sort of take that next step.
Yeah.
So it's fun to watch. I have NBA League Pass.
Oh, nice.
But I made a mistake this year, man.
What happened?
I renewed my subscription for the streaming service, not the cable service.
Oh, you can't like have them tack it on and buy it after the fact.
Well, what happened was I had it with Comcast.
Okay.
And I moved it to my new place and I got Verizon now.
Yo, Verizon's the best.
So when they renewed it, they saw that I don't have Comcast anymore. So for some reason, they automatically renewed it as a streaming service. So
gotcha.
I'm trying to get them to get that fixed, but they don't have customer service number. So I have to do it through email and they're not really good with that. So I am sort of pissed, but then again, you know, I can watch iPad, Mac, even my phone. So, and it's a little bit cheaper as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I am definitely enjoying some of this NBA basketball. Not just the Knicks, too. There have been, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Dude, he's killing it.
He is playing lights out.
Future New York Knick.
Hey, listen, I'm a big Lonzo Ball fan. I think he's going to be really, really good. I think people pay too much attention to this stuff, but Lonzo Ball is a guy that I'm going to be watching, and people will hate me about this, but I love watching the Warriors play basketball. They play basketball beautifully, and I enjoy watching them. Shout out to Kevin Durant, product of PG County, Maryland.
Shout out Maryland.
Side of where I live. Yes, sir. So, yeah, it's fun. Let me ask you a question. Are the Astros going to win tonight?
Oh, I don't want them to. I really don't. I want seven games. I really want seven. Who's on the mound? Is it Verlander?
I think it is Verlander today.
Then it's going to be real tough.
Rich Hill.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough for me to pick him. I wanted the Dodgers to win because even though he's not on the active roster, I wanted to see Granderson get a ring. You know, great Met, also a great Yankee. So I really wanted to see him get one. But... I don't know. It's going to be tough for me to pick against Verlander, so I'll say the Astros do win.
Wow. I think we see seven. I want to see seven. We deserve seven.
We deserve seven, man. That game two nights ago was crazy.
Listen, take away the storylines. This World Series has been so much better than last year's.
Unbelievable.
I know the Cubs and the whole curse was broken. Yeah, I get that. And game seven was crazy, but some of these games have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Astros come back in game two.
There hasn't been a bad game.
No, they all have all been good and have all had some sort of comeback. I think outside of maybe game one, it's just been awesome to watch. And the games are long, man, but I stay up for them and it's fun, man. Even when you're so sleepy, like the other night, I was like half asleep, but I just couldn't close my eyes because as soon as I closed my eyes, a boom, a home run,
right.
A double, a run.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so it was an awesome game the other night. One of the best offensive baseball games I've ever watched.
It was insane, dude. And listen, if this is what it takes, if you're gonna juice the balls like you're juicing them, keep juicing them because this is some fun. This is some fun baseball.
Listen, I always say the steroid era was awesome because
it was. It saved baseball.
I like it. So don't let the players juice, but juice those balls up, man. It's great.
Listen,
it's awesome.
My buddy, I'll give him a shout out. He's a Jets fan, so he's probably not listening. He texted me something the other day during the game. He said, "Why juice players and make balls weaker when you can juice balls and make players stronger?"
Exactly.
Poetic. Absolutely poetic.
It's awesome. I love it.
Love it. So, listen, I think the Astros win, but go Dodgers. Need game seven. Need game seven.
I have a lot of family in LA, and they are Dodger fans. They do go the Dodger games, and they really want to see their team win a World Series. So shout out to them. Hopefully the Dodgers can get to a game seven. I hope so. But we'll see. We'll see. They're going to need a big performance from Rich Hill tonight.
Huge.
Yeah.
Because the bullpen play on both sides has been less than stellar.
No, and they're going to need the bats to show up.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. Anything else?
Nope. That's it. Oh, just quick prayers to what happened in New York.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to New York, my city.
Yeah, some
terrible news.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, crazy people in this world, man. Don't know what's wrong with humanity, but...
Loaded question. There's a lot wrong.
Yeah, a lot of it's wrong, so just praying for him, praying for this madness to stop. It's affecting a lot of people.
Yep. All right. On that note, we will speak to you guys next week when the Giants are 1-7.
Well, before we go.
Oh, we got to do picks.
Picks too, but remember, this could be our, we got to get our
100,000th
listener, right?
Yeah. You I almost forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, yes, this is a big episode. And if you stuck around to the end, we appreciate you. You're probably an OG, so shout out to you. Listen, it may not seem like a big milestone. Obviously, there's probably some podcasts out there that get 100,000 listens, downloads per episode. There's probably some out there that get millions per episode, like the Pod Save Americas and the Pardon My Takes of the world. They probably do huge numbers. But you know what? We're a smaller operation. You know, why I'm recording out of my bedroom right now. You know, we love to do this every week. We do it for you guys. You guys love to listen to it. Apparently, the fact that you guys keep listening and subscribing every week. So we're incredibly, incredibly appreciative of every single one of you. Thank you for listening every week.
Yes, sir.
We'll try to find more ways to give back. You know, we've done giveaways. We do the Fantasy League. Maybe one of these days we'll do like a meetup. We'll watch a Giants game at a bar or something like that. But, you know, I just wanted to say thank you. You guys make it worth it every week. This is far from the end. Just a milestone that I've been sort of following along with. And, you know, this is the episode that's going to put us over the top. So just wanted to take the time at the end of the episode to thank you guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, so let's do picks. Score prediction.
Yes. I'm going to say it's going to be a lot like the Seattle game. I'm going to go 27.
I feel like we're going to say 27-17.
Oh,
okay.
27-17.
Right. I was going to go 27-13.
Yeah, I could see. That was actually my first prediction, but...
There we go.
And maybe 27-13 is more because I don't see the Giants scoring more than one touchdown.
Right.
But
let's not get it twisted. The only reason they scored a touchdown last week against Seattle was because of the defense.
Yes, they can't put together a scoring drive.
Yeah,
and people are worried about them finishing with a worse record than San Francisco. They can't put together a scoring drive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Against Denver, I mean, think about it. In the last two games, they've had what, one scoring drive?
Yeah,
where they scored a touchdown.
And they're bad. Was, they're bad, man.
Dude, it is so bad to watch. Like, I don't know. If I'm the owner, like, how will I watch this? Like, I cut checks, man. Like, how am I watching this?
Yep. It's bad. All right.
They're going to lose. 1-7.
They're going to lose.
Tank season still going on.
Saquon season, baby.
Yes, sir. Actually, I won't be opposed to drafting the quarterback either. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk. Listen, it's still early. I'm just getting on the...
Exactly.
I'm on the bandwagon because he's electric. The Giants need a running game.
Oh, I love him.
And,
I love him.
Believe me, there's going to be plenty of draft talk in the future.
Many, many, many draft talks.
Yeah, so don't even worry about that. All right. Episode 43 in the books. 100,000. Shout out to you guys. We will speak to you guys next week.
Peace.